Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. The Blue Jays try for a split of the series and a return to a second-place tie in the American League East with the New York Yankees. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees by a score of 6-3. Checking those out-of-town scores, the Houston Astros doing a number right now on the Seattle Mariners. Two-run homers from Chris Carter and Alex Presley in the first inning, and they lead the Mariners 4-0 going to the second, and that's got a big effect on the wild card chase because right now Seattle and Kansas City are tied for the second wild card. So the Mariners need to win to stay in a playoff spot. If they lose, they'll fall half a game behind Seattle, who's already lost, or behind Kansas City, who's already lost today. If they win, they will move half a game up on the Royals into that wild card spot. And the Blue Jays, by the way, now 5.5 games back with 8 games to play, all but impossible for them to make the playoffs. And again, only 2 games over 500. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls not till midnight tonight, though that would be fun. Just till the top of the hour. Tony is in London listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Tony.
Hello, Mike. It's good to take a step towards regaining second place. I know it's a little consolation maybe to some fans, but it's still put the Yankees down, I hope, and also take some games away from the Mariners this coming week. Play the spoiler in that role. But Jerry and Joe touched on what I wanted to talk about for next year, and that was the possibility of moving some people around, like the thought of Laurie moving to second and Goins going to short, Reyes to third, although I would have thought maybe Reyes to second and leave Laurie at third and Goins to short. And the closer role, most importantly, and that's what sparked it in this game here with Sanchez coming in the eighth. You thought he didn't make any pitches in the seventh, so that's why he came out in the eighth. And thought that Cecil warming up would be coming in the ninth and give him a shot at closing out the games. And as Jerry and Joe said, that he's probably the leading candidate. The odds of Jansen coming back are slim, I imagine.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know if Cecil's the leading candidate. I think you've got Cecil, you've got McGowan. You may have Morrow and Sanchez all in that sort of battle to be the closer if the Blue Jays don't pick up anybody. And I can't imagine they're going to sign a free agent closer, but they may make a trade. But I don't know if there's a leading candidate. As far as the other guys, I just don't think you can move Jose Reyes off of shortstop. I think, you know, if it was fantasy, or if it was your, you know, whatever rotisserie league, then it doesn't matter because these guys are all just lines in a spreadsheet. But the way it works with people, especially people like Jose Reyes, who's been an all-star, who's making a crap load of money, is the same way it works with Derek Jeter. He doesn't move off shortstop until he wants to move off of shortstop. And I think the only way you get Reyes off of shortstop the next year or two is by trading him. I just don't think you can do it politically. It's a shame. I mean, in my mind, all you should have to do to tell a player, we have our best chance to win if you do this, then that should be enough for him. But that's not the way it works in the real world, unfortunately.
Well, that did happen with Cal Ripken Jr., though, didn't it, Mike?
Well, yes, I guess, but it didn't happen with Derek Jeter. And it happened with Cal Ripken a lot later in his career than it would, you know, than you're asking it to happen with Jose Reyes. Ripken moved to third base. When did Ripken move to third base? He was like 37, I think. Checking that for you right now. Cal Ripken became the Orioles' everyday third baseman when he was 36 years old. Jose Reyes is 31.
Well, I like to. I think a lot of fans like to see Goins somewhere playing defense. If you have to carry a weak bat and then it'd be at second base, then actually then you. The fact is, you get the offense from Reyes at shortstop that you don't get from most shortstops. So that sort of works out that way. And it used to be. I know it's a different era, but 40, 50 years ago, you could carry a 220 hitter at a key position like catcher or shortstop, but not usually. Second base, you want a little more offense. But, again, I think a lot of us like to see Goins. I mean, he seems like he never fails to meet the challenge defensively, and as Jerry says, the best we've seen at second base since Roberto Alomar.
Yeah, I think Orlando Hudson would give you a pretty big argument about that. But for me, I don't. If you're carrying one guy who can't hit, I don't care what position he plays. I just make sure that it's only one guy. I would love to see Ryan Goins at shortstop next year. If Jose Reyes is still here, Jose Reyes is the shortstop. Brian is in Peterborough. Brian, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, so I'm just picking up on a thread that I've noticed, and it's sort of typical. I grew up in Toronto. I'm living up north of Toronto in Peterborough now. But here's the thing. I've had the advantage, I guess, of watching the HD version on the 65-inch screen for a while. And I got to tell you, the thing that I'm having trouble with is the expectation of Blue Jays fans, the expectations around, this whole where people are talking now, it's like somehow this is some team that's like a terrible team or something, right? Like you get a few losses, yeah, it's been a losing streak, and all of a sudden this is a team that has to rebuild. I mean, this is a team that's been solidly, they've been up and down, but they've been solidly in second place. Yeah, they got to struggle a bit to get back there, but come on, they've been pretty darn entertaining, if nothing else. I mean, and the idea that somehow you can sort of rate them as they talk about them. I mean, I've got a young lad who's playing soccer, and I have to try to get him interested in the TFC.
Well, yeah, they're horrible.
I mean, come on, guys. Like, let's be a little more positive around one of the better teams. I mean, it's statistically, if nothing else. I mean, look at Bautista. Look at we lost Melky Cabrera for a while, but come on, we got players here. The list goes on, and all we hear is like this is somehow. I mean, I just think it's time to stop talking about the Blue Jays as if they're some sort of bottom dwellers, because there are those teams that are around.
There are, and the Blue Jays were one for a while, and they were one last year, and I think that weighs on people's minds. I agree with you. I every time I hear somebody say the Blue Jays are terrible, I roll my eyes because it's ridiculous. I mean, they've been basically in first or second place in the American League East since the middle of May, with a few days in third sprinkled in here and there.
This is my point.
Well, but the thing is, though, they're not really good, and they're only two games above 500, and people were expecting, well, once May came around, people were expecting a lot better. I think that the whole Toronto thing weighs on the sports fans in this city. And you know, like you said, you're from here, you know the deal, right? It's been 20 years since there's been anything.
And here's the thing.
You gotta
start somewhere, but at some point, it's got to be about attitude, right? Like, and the fans' attitude has to help carry this ball, because you can't keep saying, oh, this team sucks, and expect anybody to, refill the balloon, because it doesn't work that way. I mean, this has been an amazingly entertaining team, if nothing else, right? I mean, you've got to admit it.
Well, there have been a few stretches in this season where they haven't been entertaining at all, or where they've been entertaining for the wrong reasons. But for the most part, this has been the best season that fans have had in 20 years. But I think what it comes down to is that it still wasn't good enough. And I think that the attitude of the Toronto fan now is you're either in the playoffs or you're awful. And in hockey and basketball, that's true. Baseball, not so much, but I don't think people care about that.
And this is my final point. It's like, look, baseball is very, it's not the same. I mean, yeah, recently, you know, there's been the move towards the wild card, and I'm glad. But, I mean, it's a competitive thing. You're in second place. You're still a great, entertaining team. Come on. You work with those guys. Look at Stroman tonight. I mean, you just don't get much better for a young pitcher, right?
No, it's true.
So it's anyway, true. I'm just trying to say, like, let's try and be a little more supportive as fans.
Well, let's hope people hear you, Brian. Thank you very much. But honestly, I, you know, fans having to deal with what they've dealt with the last two decades of not just the Blue Jays, but the Leafs and Raptors too, they've really forgotten what it's like to support a winning team. They don't understand what it is to support a winning team because they haven't had one. Mark and Vaughn listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thank you and your great staff for taking my call.
The great staff is pretty great. It's true. You're more than welcome.
Mike, very excited about the young arms that are going to be there for next year. But I heard you, I think, on Thursday on Jeff Blair's show. And I had to phone Mr. Blair about it. And maybe you can help me with this.
Sure.
Now, we're not a small market organization, the Blue Jays. I think even you said that we're like the third or fourth biggest market in North America.
Yep.
Why did the Blue Jay organization, what is the problem of going out and getting natural turf for the stadium? And it definitely would help to bring bigger names in, or at least it would take away, you know, we're not going to play on artificial turf. Why does this organization not go out and put natural turf in the stadium?
It's not that simple, really. I mean, and the truth is, and Jeff mentioned it on his show on our flagship, right. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, he mentioned that the Argos are a major consideration, which is unfortunate because the Argos play at Rogers Center 10 times a year. They don't draw well, and, you know, they could easily move to an expanded BMO, or I don't think they could put them in Lamport Stadium or anything like that. But the fact that the Argos are there means they got to keep the turf in. And it's a huge job to take out the artificial turf. And I can't – it's hard for me to imagine they're going to be able to do it in one-off season. But you have to tear out the floor, which, you know, the parking lot is underneath and all of that stuff. You have to put in a drainage system, which there isn't right now. And then I haven't got the first clue how you would sod it and, you know, what sort of base you need to put in before you can put natural grass in there. It can be done. It's a huge job, and I think it will be done sometime in the next 3 or 4 years. But the Argos are really standing in the way quite a bit.
That's unfortunate. But didn't Mr. Blair also say something around 2017 that it's going to be up and coming? Or
that's why I said 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a shame. You know, God bless the Argos, but, you know, the Blue Jays are... That's the meal ticket for that stadium. It certainly would be nice to see.
I am with you.
Thank you.
All right. I look forward to the day that natural grass is in Rogers Center on a permanent basis. Also look forward to the day where the default is that it's an outdoor stadium and the roof's only closed if it's raining or like below 10 degrees. Couple more minutes to take your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We go to Dave in Vancouver, and Dave, I know enough to just say the floor is yours.
Ah, good man. Hey, listen, I just want to say, good to always beating the Yankees. Hey, that's always nice. And we do have a good young pitching staff there, and hopefully the kids will continue to develop. And Stroman, he looks great and so on. But somebody on a blog just kind of, you know, put a, just a cold water all of a sudden on me when he reminded that, well, we had, one time had Romero, we had Morrow, we had Drabek. You just don't know a pitching staff. But if two or three of these guys do develop, we're solid there. We have to get the positional players better and so on. But I hope, that Mike, that they don't push Pompey too quick. I mean, I think the kid's obviously got the tools. It's been amazing what he's done in one season, et cetera. But give him a full year of AAA ball and go from there. You know, if you want to use him in the caravan, that's great and so on. And speaking of Canadian kids, you're going to see a good one from Delta BC coming down from with Seattle, et cetera. Now, I know there was a big fiasco about the signing of the contract, et cetera, but this Paxton kid, he's a stud. And I hopefully you'll see him in the final series against Seattle. Hey, Mike, always enjoying the program.
Thank you, Dave. And I'm hoping we don't see James Paxton. I don't think he's pitching tomorrow, but that would be swell. But pick your poison, really. Felix Hernandez, Hisashi Iwakuma, Paxton's been great. Yeah, it's too bad he didn't wind up with the Blue Jays. But he has done a heck of a job, and he's going to be a very, very good pitcher for Canada going forward. I can't remember the other stuff you said. The Dave speech lost me, but thought you made a good point or two that I wanted to discuss, but I can't remember. Sorry. That's you know what? You throw too many topics at me, I can only handle so much. I'm dumb. Hisashi Iwakuma is pitching tomorrow for Seattle, so he's the guy that the Blue Jays are going to miss in that four-game series. Sam in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome
to
Blue Jays
Talk. Buddy.
Still all right, thanks.
Attaboy. Mike, I want to talk about Casey. You know, everybody seems to be making it a done deal. He's not coming back, and I think that's a huge mistake. You know, if you move Sanchez to starting next year, which most likely you're going to do, you have, you know, I know they're talking about, Brett Cecil.
Yeah.
You know, as a potential strikeout guy with that sweeping curveball, et cetera. But Casey, when he's on, there's nobody better. I don't think there's a better closer in the American League when he's on. He's had a couple of rough patches after being sick. And the guy's been the longest serving Blue Jay on the team, 8 years, I believe.
Dustin McGowan longer, but he's
missed
McGowan, a lot of time.
I mean, you can pack up McGowan. I mean, that hit, he's... The Blue Jays have stuck with him for 9 years. I mean, he doesn't do anything for me or for most fans. He's just not there. As far as the closer goes, I mean, you need a guy who's there, who's got five different pitches, who picks his spots when he's on, who's had a rough patch this year. He's blown a couple of saves that weren't his fault that Jose Reyes blew for him. And, you know, with two outs in the ninth inning with the lead. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, everybody sounds like, yourself included, that Casey's not coming back next year.
Yeah, I don't think Casey's coming back. And I don't say that to say that he's going to be easy to replace. I don't think he's going to be easy to replace at all.
Not if they use Sanchez as a starter. No.
But yeah, I mean, Casey Jansen is, I would be stunned if Casey Jansen came back. I know that he wants to pitch in California.
He does?
Oh, yeah.
He said that?
I know that he's loved it here. But the truth of the matter is the Blue Jays aren't going to pay big money for a closer, and he's got a chance. You know, this is his first real chance to cash in. I don't know that he's going to cash in huge or anything like that, but I just, you know, you look at the contracts that pitchers have signed that have left the Blue Jays, that have been too rich for their blood because they feel, and probably rightly so, that there's not a tremendous amount of difference closer to closer to closer, although it shows up so huge when your guy's not getting the job done. Casey's been great, and he's been a wonderful Blue Jay, and I'm a huge fan of his. I just don't think he's coming back.
Well, what do you think the ticket would be to bring him back, dollar-wise, in your opinion?
I have no idea. I really don't. I mean, you see...
What do you think Anthopoulos would pay?
I don't think he'd pay more than $5 million.
And what's he making this year?
$4.5 million, I think. $4 million, $4.5 million. But that was before he was a closer. You know, that was, he didn't have the resume when he signed that contract that he has now. And though he's coming off a crappy second half, the CV is tremendous.
24 for 29. I mean, you know, like I say, two of them weren't his fault. So.
Right. I'm not arguing with you about that. And again, I'm not suggesting that Casey's going to be easy to replace. I just don't think the way the wind is blowing that he's going to come back with the Blue Jays as a free agent. I appreciate the calls, all the calls. Apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 6-3 to snap a six-game losing streak. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.